My father used to say sometimes that the human being is a very strange creature, and sometimes we can be. For example, it's hard to understand why it is that so many people keep trying to make decisions over and over again based on nothing else but emotion and sentiment. Purely emotion and sentiment, without use of any serious rational thought about the origin, purpose, or consequence of things. Nobody wants to think things clearly through. Just think whatever you feel, say whatever you feel, whatever's on your mind, but understanding the consequences of that. To use a contemporary example, you've got the removal of certain statuary in a city in our state, statuary of men who stood for a particular cause 150 years ago, that in certain modern circles is very unpopular. But these men fought in a war a century and a half ago, as I said. They fought soldier against soldier in support of their belief in a particular cause. Interestingly enough, that same group of people in support of the removal of the aforementioned statuary are very much in favor of renaming a state university athletic stadium for a man of that very same time era, of that same war, who not only fought against the cause of the aforementioned men represented by the aforementioned statuary, but in his infamous March to the Sea, destroyed private property, murdered, stole from, and raped civilians. This was not a war that was soldier against soldier, or fight rather, it was soldier against soldier, but a ruthless attack of terror against civilians. And we see this over and over again. People want to replace one perceived evil with another evil. We see this happening also when it comes to what's called racism. Honestly, there was, at one point in time, racism against black Americans. Now we have it opposite, where you have black Americans with racism against white Americans, and it just continues on and on. It's foolish. It's foolish. But sometimes we do these things in the name of political correctness disguised as freedom, in quotation marks, freedom. Now this is where I'm afraid to think we as a nation are going to head in the name of freedom and the desire to appease a small but loud minority. Remember that anytime that demons are being expelled in Scripture, there's always a lot of noise going on. And when good attempts to triumph over evil, the same thing happens. When we try to desire to appease a small but loud minority to save them from imaginary mental or emotional anguish, we do that by legislation. Simply legislate, remove, and destroy. Now let me be very clear about this. This is not a sermon to champion the particular cause of certain groups, nor is it to demean any person or group of persons. This is a sermon of warning. It's a sermon of warning. We are living in a time where if a person or a group of persons disagrees with you, doesn't like you, or what you stand for, represent, or believe, then there will be no rational discussion. There will be no agreement to disagree. There will be no compromise, no live and let live mentality. Instead, the mentality will be, I don't like you, therefore I will destroy you. That's inhuman, absolutely inhuman. I don't like you, therefore I will destroy you. Sooner or later, the ultra-left-wing, anti-God, anti-life, pro-atheist, pro-choice, anti-Christian, anti-Christ fringe will come after Christians. It's only a matter of time because we're allowing Christianity to slip. We're not practicing the faith with the same devotion that we should be. Let's put it this way. That same bunch, the left-wing anti-God movement, is very much in favor of removing crosses, nativity scenes, anything and everything that represents the Christian faith from public view. And they don't like us. because we as Christians stand firm in the Judeo-Christian foundations of our country, as Christ calls us to be. We are pro-family. We are pro-life. We are pro-male and female marriage. We insist on doing for oneself, pro-self-reliance, pro-labor. And because of these things, we are labeled as intolerant. That's the favorite word, intolerant. Our voices are being silenced, and the Christian influence in society is being cast aside. You see this in sitcoms and in so-called comedians, where priests and ministers of the gospel are labeled as pedophiles or greedy charlatans, where you, the devout believers, are ridiculed as sheeple, sheeple, and on and on. One frightening thing happened very recently in Florida. A Catholic school teacher in a Catholic school was teaching a history class to his students in junior high, as I do at Sacred Heart High School. And he and I both did the very same thing. He was covering the topic of Islam, the origin of it, and the falsehood of it. One parent complained because he was being intolerant. He was teaching in a Catholic school. He was told by diocesan officials that he was not teaching Catholic doctrine, but he was teaching directly from a lesson that was written by St. John Bosco, not 100 years ago. That's scary. Now, again, we love the erroneous, but we do not love error. We love the sinner, but we hate the sin. We love the Muslim, but we disregard Islam. After all, as Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father but through me. The apostles in the Acts of the Apostles say the very same thing. There is one name in heaven and on earth by which we are saved, and that is the name of Jesus Christ. It is better for us to obey God rather than men by proclaiming the gospel. But yet a Catholic teacher in a Catholic school for doing exactly what his faith tells him to do is castigated by the secular press. And because diocesan officials were afraid, he gets castigated by them. Before long, there will be restrictions, there will be fines, maybe even prison time, and so on, by those who attempt to erase Christianity from America, imposed upon Christians. Secularists, here, as they have in Europe, will try to smother Christianity. They are succeeding overseas, and bit by bit, they're trying it here. If that happens, if our country then is declared to be absolutely secular, a godless place, this is what you can expect. The church that taught us that the God that we believe in is love will be suppressed. And so the things that we believe as Christians, the fact that God is love, that he loves us, and that he calls us to love one another, the church that taught us to serve and not to be served, the faith that teaches us about the sacredness of human life and the dignity of every human person, the faith that teaches us about the inherent equality of male and female before God, the church that teaches us to do good, to heal, to feed, to clothe, to house, to educate, in a word, to build up the kingdom of God and the people of God, to lift up the human spirit, the faith that teaches us to live in the image of God, to be a people of holiness, of love, and peace, the faith that is the world's only hope for salvation and peace, will disappear. The faith that teaches us to repent, that teaches us to show respect, that teaches us to have mercy and to forgive, and teaches cooperation, the faith that returns human beings, men and women, into creatures of love and reminds us to resist evil by being a people of reason and free will, choosing good and preserving the good, the true, and the beautiful, will die. In its place, you will have nothing else but brutality, ignorance, submission, and slavery. That's the replacement. I dare say that none of us wants that to happen. Brothers and sisters, baptized in Christ and recipients of the Holy Spirit, you and I must follow the Spirit of Christ, the Spirit of God, the Spirit of love, the Spirit of truth. That Spirit was promised and given to us by the Lord Jesus. That Spirit is a Spirit of wisdom and clarity. It's a Spirit of wisdom and right judgment, a Spirit of knowledge, of counsel, and fortitude, giving us strength to make the right choices and fearlessness in doing what is truly right and good. We've been given a Spirit of devotion and awe, clinging tenaciously to Christ and never wanting to lose Christ or to be lost from Christ. St. Peter talks about that in the second reading of Mass this morning. He's speaking directly to the early Christians who are suffering to their faith, and in the same way, speaking directly to us. Beloved, sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts. Always be ready to give an explanation to anyone who asks you for a reason for your hope, but do it with gentleness and reverence. Remember that truth and charity go hand in hand. The person who says, "I'm giving you the truth," but has not love, is a liar. The person who says, "I love you," but does not give you the truth, is a liar. After all, God is love, and God himself is truth. You can't have one without the other. Keep your conscience clear, so that when you are maligned, those who defame your good conduct in Christ may themselves be put to shame, as they will be. It is better for us to suffer for doing good, if that be the will of God, than for doing evil. We can never compromise with evil, never compromise with sin. For Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead us to God. Christ was put to death in the flesh. We should put to death anything in us that is not of Christ, so that just as Christ is brought to life in the Spirit, we too might be raised to new and eternal life with him. As we come to these final days of the Easter season and prepare to celebrate the descent of the Holy Spirit and the birth of our church at Pentecost, let our prayer be, Lord, send out your Spirit upon us, and through us, renew the face of the earth.